lectionary has put together four passages that fit very well. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first, according to Mark. What we see is Jesus, according to the letter of the Hebrews. Well, it's not been a great week. Market's down. Tigers have lost a lot of games. U of M teams have lost. Belisle was a loss for that big race. Vice President Biden lost his son to cancer. General Petraeus noted we're losing in Iraq. Hastert is engulfed in sexual abuse. A Detroit mother slays her children and freezes their bodies. The cacophony of ills abounds. But there are some bright spots. American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. The Tigers won. And the Tiger lost. Well, the state of affairs, our Audrey. We've had enough of our saga of excess. Christopher Lash in The True and Only Heaven wrote, "A parent's perspective of modern life reveals the unwholesomeness of our way of life, our obsession with sex. Oh, look, there's another wardrobe mishap." Right. Kim and Beyonce vie for wearing the least clothing. Violence? We manage a death a day in Detroit. Pornography? I'll know it when I see it. Our addictive dependence upon drugs. Impatience with anything that limits our sovereign freedom of choice. It's best illustrated by a piece that Bertie Bai shared with me, written by Edward Wallace Hope. There is so much good in the worst of us, and so much bad in the best of us, that it hardly behooves any of us to criticize the rest of us. Our refusal to draw a distinction between right and wrong. And above all of that cacophony, the Lord God Almighty sits upon a throne, looks over this creation, and weeps. In the days of King Uzziah, what a rule he had. He had expanded the nation, prosperity abounded, the markets rose to unprecedented heights, Judah was dominant. Now Uzziah had come to the throne bringing with him truth and integrity. He had been taught very well by the prophet Zechariah. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And then ego, a.k.a. Satan, entered the scene. And Uzziah, blessed by God, believed that his success was due to the initiatives of his hands. His hubris led him into the temple, and he strutted right up to the altar of incense and burned an offering to himself. Well, God was not happy. He would not be mocked. God spoke to the priests, and they confronted him. They pleaded with him to desist from his disobedience. He had leprosy. His life and his kingdom foundered. Majestic monarchy was awash in misery. The king died in discredit. The nation, a moral wasteland. Isaiah came along and assessed this situation. The vine that God had brought from Egypt is broken. They rise in the morning so that they can carouse. Men and women are dying of soul hunger. For the land was thirsty for the word of the Lord. And those who had run around proclaiming, "I'm the greatest," were brought low. Sharp tongues were dulled. Skills lost. There was no transcendence in life. Isaiah received this new vision. I saw a new throne. It was transformed. It was just like John reported. A new heaven. A place for the everlasting God, where the angels sang, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Now, this is what these two little cherubs we see at Christmas time. These angels stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac, reassured Jacob against Laban, led Israel across the Red Sea, met Elijah in the desert, announced the birth of a Savior to our Lord. When the angels spoke, the doorpost shook. Isaiah was terrified. What was me? I am a man of unclean lips. Nothing in life makes me worthy, Lord. So we cry with Isaiah, "I'm not worthy." But the angels, you see, they put this burning coal on Isaiah's tongue, and his ears opened. Did you get that? The prophet couldn't hear until his tongue was on fire. Who shall shall go? Whom shall I send? The author of the letter of the Hebrews was writing to a people that was steeped in Judaism, tremendous persecution for their faith. And he looks at them and sees them falling away, leaving their religious communities, responding to those who are catering to their faith needs. And in response, he says, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things, through whom he made this universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's glory. So who is Jesus? Ezekiel portrayed the glory of God. Jesus reflected it. Isaiah expounded the nature of God as holy. Jesus manifested it. Jeremiah described the power of God. Jesus displayed it. For Jesus is God's prophetic voice, God's perfect revelation. In my 57 years of service, we have moved from the God is dead movement to honest to God, to a humanitarian peasant from Nazareth, to reducing Jesus to an inspired man with a unique sense of religious destiny, an outstanding example, a fervent zealot, a passion for liberation. The myth of God incarnate crowd of process theology asserts everything is relative, merely probable. What possible evidence could there be which would oblige us to admit that a historical figure was more than human? In fact, our denomination once sponsored an event in Minnesota called the Women's Reimagining Conference. Their theological spokesperson was a prof from Union Seminary in New York. And she stated, we don't need an atonement. We just need to listen to the God within. We don't need folks hanging on crosses and blood and weird stuff. Let the honey flow, Sophia. Harry Emerson Fosdick reminded us, we began our spiritual journey with a storm cloud on the desert mountain. And now we say God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. We began with a territorial God who loved a clan. We end with a multitude out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. We began with a God who, at Sinai, the people shrank in fear. Now we enter the presence of God with an indwelling spirit as an unseen friend. My friends, we see Jesus. God sent his only Son. God became one with us in Jesus. The Holy Spirit alive. Hear his call anew. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. For here the word of God meets us on this holy ground. From the pillar of fire to the cloud in the wilderness to live coals on the tongue. God is here, right now. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty. Come, Lord Jesus, the pain and tears of anguish must end. Come, Lord Jesus, the comfort of this world is no comfort at all. Come, Lord Jesus, the patterns of this world must change. Come, Lord Jesus, for hate must turn to love, fear must turn to joy. Come, Lord Jesus, wars must cease, peace must reign. And Jesus says, come, all of you, overburdened, I will give you rest. The table is set. Each one is invited to come. Come unto me. At baptism, you were asked a question. Do you renounce the devil? And you all said yes. Daniel Clendenin wrote, what is required of a Christian is not action but a presence, a style of life, an attitude, a special mode of existence, incarnating a God-given identity as light, salt, sheep. How are you doing? Paul reminds us of Romans. I urge you, brothers and sisters, keep an eye on those who cause dissensions and offenses in opposition to the teachings you have learned. Avoid them. For such people do not serve our Lord Christ, simply their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive hearts. For while your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, I want you to be wise in what is good, guileless in what is evil. For the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Is there a word from the Lord today? The King of Glory calls. Who will go for me? With James Stewart, we pray. Lord, we accept, we believe, we adore. Less than the least that we be. Fire of love burn in us, burn evermore, until we burn out for thee. Oh, let it be so. Amen.